This last week, we saw two outrageous failures committed by our leaders that should make us all angry and bewildered. Last Sunday, the leaders of the Catholic bishops' conferences from around the world closed their Vatican summit with the Pope for the protection of children, with almost nothing really new being accomplished. And then on Monday, the Democrats in the United States Senate defeated a bill called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which would have required that babies who were born alive after failed abortions would receive the same life-sustaining medical care that all newborns receive. They're born, although they weren't wanted, they're born and they're sitting there on the table. But remember how our governor a few weeks ago said that you basically let them die, as did our delegate. It's amazing to me that our leaders in the church and in our nation could fail so miserably to see the truth of the great sins and crimes that lay so obviously before them, and that they could have prevented or corrected but chose not to. It's as if they were literally blind. Which begs the question that Jesus asks us today. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? How can the bishops plan to lead us when they are blind to the most basic problems staring them in the face? How can they lead us to holiness, to purity, to the truth, to humility, if they don't see the impurity, lies, and pride that are in their midst? And that even lead them to abuse the vulnerable or to cover up or even to promote those who do? And how can senators lead us to be a nation that respects the rights of human beings when they can't even see that the most fundamental right to life clearly applies to a baby, at least once it's born, if not also, as we believe, while it's still in the womb? If they can't defend the most fundamental, obvious right to life of the most innocent and vulnerable born among us, how can we take seriously their claims to understand what is good and necessary and right for the rest of us? If they are anti-human life, are they not also totally anti-woman and anti-gay and anti-minority? Today Jesus tells us, a good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit, for every tree is known by its own fruit. Both our nation and our country are fundamentally, if you will, good trees. And not just good trees, great trees. The thing is, both are actually bearing both good fruit and rotten fruit. The church is producing great saints. There are many great bishops and cardinals. And there are many great saints in the pews here today. But there are also many great sinners in our midst, like the McCarricks that we know about and the McCarricks that we don't know about. And America is doing great things and yielding some great people. We see especially our soldiers are war heroes that have given so much for our nation, for example. But so many great people. But also some who are foolish and some who are downright evil. So while both trees are fundamentally good, there seems to be something like a disease that's infected both. And not surprisingly, it's the same disease. It's sin. But the thing is, that sin infects the whole tree. Not just leaders, not just cardinals and bishops and priests, and not just senators and congressmen, but also the people of the nation and the people of the church, you and me. How do you think we got so many rotten leaders in the first place? In politics, the people elected them. And they elected rotten leaders fundamentally because of sin. For example, the sins of greed, envy, and lust. Too many times we vote for whoever will offer us the most of what we want instead of what is best for the nation as a whole. That's a sin. Or maybe just the sin of sloth. You're too lazy to go out to vote. And in the church, how many times did we hear Ted McCarrick, when he was the Cardinal Archbishop of Washington, how many times did we hear him praise for how nice he was, how even-handed he was, how smooth and clever he was? In all candor, he was never known as a great defender of the Catholic faith. He used to say things that made people feel good and that made him popular. But he would run away from saying the hard sayings that Jesus himself taught. As the first reading from Sirach today tells us, the fruit of a tree shows the care it has had, so too does one's speech disclose the bent of one's mind. And as St. Paul tells us elsewhere, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but want to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate teachers in accordance with their own desires. No doubt St. Paul despises false teachers. That's clear in his writings. But he also places part of the blame on the people who want to have their ears tickled. Jesus goes on to say today, why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but you do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? Now, I want to be very careful here. I'm very clear because I don't want to be misunderstood as sort of, as they say, blaming the victim, okay? But let's be honest with ourselves. We can and should be mad as heck at bishops or politicians for being blind to the reality around us. But don't we also bear some of the blame? Aren't we also blinded sometimes by our own sins? If not, again, how did all those politicians, those bad politicians, get elected? Now, many of you did get out and vote and voted well. And many of you do not want to have your ears tickled by weak priests or bishops, and you've done your best to embrace the sound doctrine. But we can all admit that none of us is perfect. I'm not perfect. I know that's hard for you to believe. People say that I'm pretty outspoken and forthright, but how many times have I sat by and said nothing when a bishop or a priest preached heresy in the public square? Maybe I did that out of wisdom or prudence, but sometimes maybe it was just out of simple laziness or cowardice. And that would be a sin. Nobody's perfect. Maybe there's not a great big wooden beam in your eye, as Jesus talks about. Maybe it's just a little splinter. Fine, but you know what? If you've ever had a little splinter in your eye, that can cause the same pain and blindness as a beam. So, paraphrasing Jesus, giving us all the benefit of the doubt, remove the splinter or the beam in your eye first, and then you will see clearly to remove the splinter or the beam in your brother's eye. This Wednesday, we begin the season of Lent. It's a great time to perceive and to remove the splinters and beams from our eyes. So, as a rule in Lent, I generally try to avoid preaching about things that touch on the broader societal or church matters. Like, I try to avoid talking about abortion or politics or abuse, the abuse scandal, things like that. But try instead to focus on growth in personal holiness and personal appreciation of God's, of Jesus' great love for us that He shows us in His passion and death. But as you see, the two things are connected, our personal holiness and the world around us. They're connected intimately. So as we look out on our country and our church in the middle of real crises, mired in corruption of sin, we also begin Lent. And so turn our eyes now to ourselves. Because lasting change in the world and in the church can only come from cooperating with the grace of Jesus Christ, and that change and cooperation can only begin with us individually. Whether it's simply changing our willingness to accept or be satisfied by the self-serving promises and lies of bishops and politicians, or whether it's turning away from our more personal deadly sins, even those that are reflected in the lives of the same politicians and bishops we're angry with. Lying to ourselves and ignoring the truth has gotten our country and especially our church into the mess that we are today. Don't let it do the same thing to you. Whatever it is, let's be brutally honest with ourselves going forth in Lent. Let us no longer be blinded by the beams or the splinters of our sins. But by the grace of Jesus Christ, let us remove them from our eyes first, and then we will see clearly to remove the splinter in our brother's eyes. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.